You're listening to Clack Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
You ready to talk about Disc 2?
Let's do it.
Let's start with a record that was really like, I mean, considering it's not a single or even something that's remotely close to a single, a very like famous song, basically, Notorious Thugs, produced by Stevie J and Puffy, of course, featuring Bone Thugs. This is a really interesting song for a bunch of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So number one, like this is 97, early 97. And really the idea of like, of an East Coast rapper rapping on this kind of bouncy beat.
Yes.
Just didn't really exist.
Not at all.
And it's funny, what I realized listening to this is like the way that Stevie J is sort of like playing with the hi-hats here would sort of be mimicked by Dark Child when Dark Child tries to sort of create the bouncy R&B that's we always sort of commonly look back to and say, oh, he's just biting Timbo. But it actually kind of owes a little bit to the bounce of this beat in a weird way.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
No, finish your point.
No, I mean, that was my point. That was my point, is that I didn't notice it until I think it was this morning. Like I was driving down to work and I was listening to this and I was like, and I was sort of, you know, nodding my head at the beat and I'm hearing the hi-hats and how they're coming in. And I was like, man, this sounds like the way that like in 98, all of a sudden, all these R&B beats got bouncy.
Hold the phone, Doc.
Yeah.
So you mean to tell me that Rodney Dark Child Jerkins was biting his style from other producers in 1997? 1998.
I know you're shocked. Do you need a moment?
I need a moment. Can we take a break? Did we start side B already?
Because this is the beginning of side B.
Okay.
I hope so.
I need to go get some water. I need to sit down. I need to call my mom, and I need to like breathe.
First of all, I love the idea that your mom's going to be like, you mean Dark Child? That Dark Child? No!
Oh, baby, I'm so sorry. All those years. I played you those Toni Braxton records and I just didn't know.
So, Dopey.
Yeah.
The legacy of this song is almost more, and what it represents to this album is almost more fascinating than the song itself. But I want to talk about the song itself because Big destroys this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are other famous New York City rappers who in the coming years after this are going to try to rap on bouncy or quote unquote Southern / Midwestern beats. Basically something that if it wasn't boom bap, then, you know, it must've been, you know, it had to be the other record on the album. There are other rappers. I'm looking at you, Nas, who tried this and failed spectacularly, but this is amazing. Yeah. Big is great on this. I remember, so this must have been 2004. I'm in a bar at college. It's my senior year, 2005 maybe. Yeah, maybe right after my senior year. But somebody put, like, the DJ puts this song on. And, you know, UConn in 2005. We'll just say still pretty white. Very, very white, right? Very Connecticut. And yet, there is a dance floor full of college students rapping Big's verse word for word.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how iconic this song is. Now, in terms of how Bone Thugs do on this. I love how, I don't know. I like Busy's opening. Tell me how you really feel.
I mean,
how do you feel about this song?
I can't say anything bad about it, but it's an iconic record. It's classic. Yeah. I just never have to hear it ever again.
It's iconic because of Biggie.
I agree with that.
Okay.
Now remember, you know, around the same time, maybe a few months after that, Thug Love drops.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Bone, who has records with both Tupac and Big.
Right.
I used to love Thug Love.
We've talked about this. It's a terrible song. Terrible.
Song is not good.
It's terrible.
And I think I fought you about it on the last show, but I finally yielded. It's not a good song. Though I like Busy on there, even though you can't understand a word. I should go on Rap Genius and say, you know, what were you saying at the end of Thug Love? I'm about to find that out right now. They do have it. Oh my goodness.
Of course they have it.
Yeah, but is it just going to say inaudible? Okay, Tupac, here we go. This makes no sense. Deep in the, okay, yet the weapon is kept with the best of my secrets. Deep in the reach, I'm alone, nigga. Believe that I can see it if needed. And if you really with me, and well, then let it be. Get the greens and we running up over Cleveland.
It sounds better when you rap it fast.
Sounds good on a record. Okay, whatever. Yeah, so Notorious Thugs. I agree. I mean, Crazy's cool on here. Crazy is super underrated.
Agreed.
Biggie, or I'm sorry, not Biggie. Busy. Biggie Bone.
Biggie Bone. You make him sound like the five dwarves or something. You know, it's like.
Right, Biggie Bone. And yeah, and I was about to say Lazy Bone, but that was actually a number. All right. It's funny when you're out here, because three rappers that Columbus, Ohio claims, but like the rappers themselves don't claim Columbus, are Busy Bone, Tash from the Alcoholics, and of course Lil Bow Wow. And so people hold Busy Bone in a very high regard, but Crazy was easily the best member.
Yeah.
Far and away.
Actually, it'd be interesting. I would love to hear from people listening. Hit us up at CRS Podcast on Twitter. Everybody agrees Crazy was the best, right? I'd love to know.
I wouldn't be surprised if people had Busy.
Hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, we'll find out. Anything else you want to say about Notorious Thugs?
Nah, let's move on.
Let's talk about Miss You.
Yeah, okay.
Featuring 112, produced by KG.
Yep.
This is...
Man, you're trash.
This is probably the first song on the entire project where I'm like, nah, it's okay.
What?
I skip it all the time. Yeah. You could, like, I feel like this is for a lot of rappers, this is definitely a cliche song to make. Like the sort of, somewhat, it's like we're sampling something nostalgic and we're, someone's singing about why we're missing you. And it's, nah, I'm good.
Don't do that.
I'm good. This song just doesn't really do it for me. Never has. It's not terrible. It's just, eh, it's okay. But you disagree.
Absolutely.
Okay, tell me why I'm wrong.
Great storytelling, dope sample, dope beat. Like, it's better than some of the, I'd rather hear this than.
Well, if it's a song later on, we'll get there.
No, I was thinking of something from Disc 1.
Yeah, that's it. Like, what would you put this over anything from Disc 1?
Listen, I'm not going to do that because I really don't want my mentions filled with angry big fans, because I do have two songs in mind that people would be like,
You can't count the intro and you can't count the Schoolie D interlude.
Oh, I don't.
Huh? Let me. Loving You Tonight's one of them.
No. Well, three songs then.
Ah! I'm looking at the track list. What?
He said, ah!
How? All right. Yeah, I don't really love the 112 hook. Yeah, I'm cool. This is filler to me.
Okay, I won't argue that, but that's fine.
Okay, you want to talk about another?
No. Not really. This is the first one where I'm like, nope.
Featuring Lil Kim, produced by Stevie J and Puff. I didn't even have to tell you. It's obvious. It's produced by Stevie J and Puff.
Clearly.
So I guess I didn't know this. I guess apparently this was an actual real argument between them that they were having in the studio at the time, and apparently at the end of it Biggie actually choked her, which is terrible.
And there we are.
Yeah, there's like a certain type of like glossy beat that they were trying to make a lot of in 97.
Mm-hmm.
This I Know What Girls Like. Mm-hmm. There's a certain kind of sound that they were trying, and none of them work.
Mm-hmm.
None of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like the beat here. Don't really like the hook. I'm sure people are like screaming because they think the hook is classic. But
no, I'm good.
Yeah, no, I'm really good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this is like kind of the problem with this too a little bit. It's like, okay, Notorious Thugs. Yep. But then you can skip the second half of Notorious Thugs. You could skip Miss You, and you can skip Another. And I'm like, nah. But it's okay because we've got Going Back to Cali.
Yep.
Produced by Easy Mo B. What's a better skit? This or Kick in the Door?
Nasty Girl.
And this concludes this week's episode of Clock Ready.
Definitely Kick in the Door.
Yeah. This is an incredible record.
Yeah, it is.
Incredible skit. Love a skit. Obviously, we joke about it all the time. Yeah.
So I saw a very interesting conversation on a site that was birthed out of So, where, you know, you and I dwell. Shout out to the colleagues. We have some listeners from the colleagues, so shout out them. They said, what was the purpose of Going Back to Cali? Was it one of those things where Big was like, oh shoot, Pac got killed, like, let's try to make things right? Or was it a, yeah, your man's dead, now I'm about to go to your area and, you know, flex?
So we know that, I mean, because Big went out, obviously, since he was shot in L.A. He went out to L.A. He likes going to Cali. Like, they went out there because he felt like, he could get love out there. Like, he liked California.
Yeah.
He genuinely did.
One of the few things that was conveyed correctly from the Notorious movie.
I think I'd actually love to know, because I could see this taking place a couple ways, right? I could see it where, like, Easy Mo B has, you know, this beat that samples, you know, the classic More Bounce to the Ounce record, and Big's like, that's too perfect, right? Or I could see it, okay, we're gonna purposefully try to prove that I can do that style just as good as they can.
Mm-hmm.
I like not knowing. And if somebody, I'm sure this has come out at some point, I'm sure somebody's asked Easy Mo B, and, you know, I'm sure someone will tell me, but, like, in the moment right now, I kind of like not knowing, because to me, it's that Big wanted to be like, I can do that sound. And it's appropriate that it's Easy Mo B, because Easy Mo B, of course, produced a lot of stuff on Me Against the World. Like, if any of the producers that Big was commonly working with was going to do this, Easy Mo B seems like the obvious choice.
Yeah, in 1996, 1997, I agree with that.
This is a classic record. Classic hook, classic verses. Love this song.
Yeah.
I think this is one of those things where I could see, like, you know, playing that game again of, like, what happens if Big doesn't die. I could have seen this being a video.
Oh, totally. And I feel like they were aiming for that.
Right.
I feel like this would have been a good, like, third or fourth single.
Right. Right. And there's another record on here that we'll talk about in a bit that would have probably never been a single.
Right. And it could have got, like, Dub C on the remix or something like that. Connect Gang, bing, bing, bang.
You know, actually, Ice Cube on this would have been really interesting.
Yeah.
Because this is, like, this is Bow Down era, right?
This is Bow Down. This is also, you know, Snoop and Puff squashed everything after Big's death.
Right.
And one thing about Snoop is you could always tell that Snoop wanted that East Coast acceptance.
I mean, New York, big city of dreams.
Yeah. Even though it's tongue-in-cheek, him and Corrupt are like, they come from that school.
Mm. Especially Corrupt.
Oh, yeah.
But no, Going Back to Cali, classic intro, classic verses, classic hook. Yeah. It's one of those things where, like, on a double disc that has plenty of candidates for singles, like, this is, people know this song anyway, but, like, totally could have been. I'm sure it got some radio play, but, like, they totally could have given this the big push.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay. You ready to talk about 10 Crack Commandments?
Sure.
Don't do that.
Nah, no reason.
Produced by Primo. Famously, this was originally used on Hot 97 for, like, the Hot 9 at 9 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Biggie snatched it and used it on here. What am I supposed to say about this? This is, there's not much of a song structure here, but I feel like Primo kind of was doing a lot of that in 97, 98. Like, think about, like, Friend or Foe, Friend or Foe 2. Like, these are just these little, like, nah, it's the beat. There's a concept. Someone's rapping for a while, some Primo scratching at the end. We're good.
Yeah.
And yet it's incredible. Again, this is one of those, like, this is one of those songs that is so incredibly well known.
Yeah.
Even though not a single, never was going to be a single, anything like that. How do you feel about this 20 years later?
I mean, it's it still works. Yeah. I don't have anything else to add on to it. I agree with you 100%. It always worked. It always worked. And I think it always will work. Now, I have a question for you, Doc.
Yeah.
Have you heard Faith Evans' 10 Wife Commandments?
Not only have I heard it, I was, so my wife and I, we did some errands and shopping this weekend and everything. We had a little bit of a drive. So I'm playing Life After Death in the car and we're listening. My, you know, my wife likes 10 Crack Commandments. And I was like, oh, and I started explaining that Faith Evans was putting out an album of, you know, her and Biggie. And she's like, oh, you could already tell she's guarded, you know? And then, and then I explained that one of them is called 10 Wife Commandments. And she was like, you know, it was just, I couldn't even like bear to try to like play the song for her. I mean, at the risk of being uncouth, like the worst part about the concept of that song is like, they famously had problems as husband and wife. Like,
right. That were very well documented.
Right. Like, that just makes like no, just in no way does that make sense. But it's like, and this is, you know, the, again, this is going to sound terrible and uncouth, but like in a way, like the image of Faith and Biggie after his death, like
didn't
really fit the reality.
Bruh.
But that's the way it's portrayed.
That's the narrative.
Yeah. But I'm not, listen, I took 10 Wife Commandments is so bad.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
Man, bad boy residuals aren't what they used to be.
You're stupid.
It's so bad. Like,
it's bad.
It's terrible. But 10 Crack Commandments is great.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. So here's a song that is, that was, I guess you might say controversial. It was definitely kind of controversial at the time. Like, it was certainly, I don't know, I think it, at least for people I knew, like, this was an interesting song, and that's Play a Hater, produced by Puff and Stevie J. How do you feel about Big singing?
I've never liked this song.
Mm.
I actually did not know people liked this song until I joined the military.
Really?
Yeah. Had no clue. I was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, this is... This is Big with the heat check, right?
This is a heat check.
This is such a heat check. Because Big kind of like hinted that he sort of likes to sing a little bit. You know, like on I Love the Dough, like before, you know, like he sort of sings along like in the back, like almost as like an ad lib, like next to the hook at one point. Like he kind of wanted to sing a little bit. Not like, you know, not like Nelly or Drake or something like that. But this is...
Not like Nelly and Drake.
You know, not in that style. Not like a sing-song style. But like, no, he wanted to be like the Delphonics.
Yeah. Yeah.
Total heat check. It's like, as a novelty, I used to think this was great in 97. I thought this was just so, I was like, oh, he's like, I was like, this is like, he's switching it up. Like, no one's expecting this. No, but like, you hear this now and it's like, I feel the nostalgia, but I'm like, meh. I mean, I do appreciate the fact that Puff's in the middle of this, like saying like, you know, we have two kind of people in the world. You know, we have the players, we have the player haters. Like I'm down for all, any and all 96, 97, 98 Puff Daddy game spitting. Like, but aside from that, I'm good with this. This does not hold up at all in 2017.
Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I want to bring back player haters.
Okay.
Because everybody was a player hater in 1997. I kind of want to bring that term. Doc, can we do a record called Play Haters? Can you sample like some Cyndi Lauper or something?
I can sample this. Like, Tears for Fears. Tears for Fears.
I don't know.
Loop up hits from the 80s. Don't it sound so crazy? We're going to bring that back.
Let's do it.
Anything else you want to say about Player Haters?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Let's talk about Nasty Boy.
Oof.
Featuring Kelly Price.
The Biggie Duets.
Biggie Duets. sorry, I have to say it that way.
I can't breathe.
Produced by Puffy and Stevie J, obviously. Except this one works. I feel like the sequencing on this disc does not help Nasty Boy. Like, if you put Nasty Boy where Another is, all of a sudden, Nasty Boy is almost like the de facto single of this disc. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of buried in the middle here.
Yeah.
This one took a little while for me to come around on, but like, I didn't really like this in 97, but I like it a lot more now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although, actually, now that I think about it, I never realized that's Kelly Price in the hook.
Is it?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Here's the other thing. Isn't this song crying out for Puff rapping on it? How is Puff not on this record?
Not 1997 Puff, though, because we hear him later, and I don't need to hear him on that record.
Mm.
Puff hadn't quite... He was still awkward. Like, No Way Out Puffy is not good.
Oh, wait. There was a different beat used on this originally? They had a sample clearance problem? Hold on. Can I find... Hold on. Let's see if we can find this real quick.
I'm sure the original version is around there somewhere.
I'm sure we can find it somewhere. All right. See if I can find it real quick. Oh, God.
Now you gotta play that song.
You ready?
Yeah, let's do it. Wow, they said what?
Right. Yeah. I think this actually kind of worked out.
This kind of worked out.
Because instead, you know, Puff and Stevie J were like, okay, sure, we'll give you the everything. You know, this is right out of their playbook, except this one actually works.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, that oof.
See, that original version is right up there. That's the, like, Puff trying to do that I know what girls like.
That worked later on because that sample was used for a Monifa record. Do you remember Touch It?
Oh, I do. Oh, Monifa.
Yeah, but that was like a big hit for her.
Was that the one with the video on the aircraft carrier?
Oh my God. I have no idea, dude.
I think it is. Hold on. I need to.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, how do you feel about Nasty Boy?
I can't really add on to anything you said. I agree. I think it works, and in retrospect, I think you make a good point about the sequencing hurting it, and this totally could have replaced Another or been flipped with Another. Mm. So, yeah, I agree. Good record. But I will say this, though. When Jazzy Faye got his hands on it, out of here.
Stop it.
Out of here.
Stop it.
Oh, man. Oh, fizzle.
All right, you ready to talk about Sky's the Limit?
Yes!
Feature of 112.
Yes, I am!
Produced by Clark Kent.
Shout out to Clark Kent.
Listen, if Biggie doesn't die, there's no way this is a successful single.
There's no way that this is?
That's right. No way.
You're bugging.
This song
wouldn't have been a single. I agree that it wouldn't have been a single at
Never.
All because they can't do Going Back to Cali. This
right.
goes along with I'll Be Missing You as the narrative.
Obviously.
But this is my favorite Biggie record.
Favorite Biggie record?
I almost cussed at you. Yes.
This isn't even in the top half of this disc.
You're funny. You're hilarious.
Really?
Yes.
Favorite Biggie record?
Yes.
How?
What do you mean how? It just feels great. Yep.
Huh.
Yep. Yep.
But I'm literally like slack-jawed right now. I'm like...
I said no. How can you? Because I said it on the retro.
I'm
this has been my favorite Biggie record for years.
Huh. Okay.
Yep.
This is a cool record.
You bugger.
It's hard to separate in my mind from the video.
The video was kind of corny.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of corny.
But... It was kind of corny, but it was a really interesting way to do this.
Sure.
Because at some point, you know, they were still trying to figure out, like, what do we do? We have a song with Biggie, but we need the video, right? Puff tried a whole bunch of different approaches. Right? Never forget Victory.
Yo. I got to rap over Victory.
I have the beat.
I know. Go ahead and Dropbox it. I got to rap.
I mean, actually, because I... Of course, I went out and I have like the original, like, maxi single, whatever the mega single of Victory is, because it's got
the Been Around the World remix.
It's got the Been Around the World remix, but it also has the drama mix of Victory
With the opera in it.
Yeah. But
God, you're a nerd.
I know.
Oh man.
It's actually in my Dropbox right now. But no, like Victory, like their approach to what do we do with the, you know, we need Biggie in the video was basically like, we're just going to like spend $8 million on a video.
Yeah.
Victory is like the ultimate heat check from Puffy.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because that was like single number, what, 4 off the album?
Yeah, it was way down the line. Like he had made all his money back.
Right. And then he's like, here's what we're going to do. Can you get Danny DeVito on the line? Also, I need to make this more over the top. Mr. DeVito, how's it going? Listen, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be in a helicopter.
I'm going to ride a train, and it's going to scrape up against my back, but not touch me. There's going to be a bunch of sparks everywhere, and what we're going to do is we're going to have Busta Rhymes perched on top of a building with a jacket made out of black feathers.
He's going to be like a human gargoyle is what we're going for.
We're going to pin his hair up and everything. He's going to do the whole ha and all that stuff. Is going to be perfect.
What? I don't know if I've realized this before. If so, I've forgotten. But I kind of forget that big second verse on there was supposed to be for Puff. It's a reference for Puff.
The Black Rob joined the mob and ain't no replacing him?
Yeah. Read that verse. He's talking about himself from the point of view of Puffy.
Yeah, nobody come off like P. Diddy.
Right. That's supposed to be a Puffy verse.
Wow. That's funny. That's the ultimate. That's, you know what that is? That's I Am Dame Dash. Oh boy.
So sky's the limit.
Yes.
What is it about this that makes this your favorite?
I don't know.
You said,
man.
The feel?
Yeah, I like the feel of it. I love that sample. I love the last verse. Yeah, it literally feels like, all right, it sounds like Biggie's Day Off. It sounds like a movie, right? Where like Big put all this work, Big spent 4 years putting in all this work, hit records, records with Michael Jackson, you know, all this stuff. And he was finally, he got to sit down in his mansion. His mother was taken care of, his daughter's taken care of. And then it's like having a 5-year plan and seeing it come to fruition. And you kind of looking back and saying, man, look what I did. Like, I did all right. And now I have another 5-year plan where I'm about to set myself up to make sure I take care of my daughter. And even as you said, you know, I did all this stuff for Bad Boy. So now it's Mace's turn. Now it's the Lock's turn. Now it's Faith. It's Total. It's like the next generation of Bad Boy. Because essentially the first generation of Bad Boy is Biggie.
And Craig Mack.
And Biggie.
Biggie.
Right. Like, I mean, Craig Mack has Flav in Your Ear. Absolutely. 100%. But hey, guess who's on the remix of that?
LL Cool J making up words.
Here's she. Like, what? Yeah, Blotitious. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's like, working, it's like you working at Yale for 4 years,
right?
Not taking a day off, and then finally your day off, or you get to go on vacation, and you and your wife go to like you're so tired you don't even want to travel. You're just like, let's just stay home,
staycation.
Yeah, let's just have a staycation and let's chill out and like let's catch up on shows on Netflix or whatever. And you're just like, man, like I did all right, and now this next generation is about to reap the benefits off of my labor. And that's okay, because that's what I wanted to happen. And it that's what it feels like. It feels like Big taking a deep breath and relaxing and just retrospectively going over all the work that he did, where he came from, and sort of what he wanted to do. And I love records like that. Mm. Like, Big wasn't really out to prove something. It felt like it was getting inside of Big's head.
Mm.
It wasn't Biggie the rapper. It felt like it was a Christopher Wallace record.
Okay.
So that's why I like the record.
I can
so
see
much.
That. I can see that.
Laugh at that, Doc.
Oh, I'm laughing.
Laughing all the way to the bank?
Everybody has a price.
Oh, my God. Oh, my. Oh, yeah. WrestleMania is this weekend.
You doing any appearances on any other wrestling podcasts?
No, I'm actually going to shoot a Kairos Culture vlog and do predictions. We're shooting it tomorrow.
Okay.
I've got like three vlogs in the tuck that I just have not put out yet because work has been crazy. So, but anyway.
I thought you were going to say, yeah, I'm releasing a new track called Say Your Prayers, You Need Your Vitamins or something like that, which would be.
Oh, I mean, listen, if I could, honestly, if my internet wasn't out, you'd have two records.
Mm.
That I want to put out for WrestleMania weekend. So I'm trying to fix that so I can get you to mix down these freestyles real quick.
Okay.
So yeah, trying to, but just life has been crazy.
Let's talk about The World Is Filled.
Let's do it.
Featuring Too Short, Puffy, produced by, I think, D Dot and Puffy. Is that right? Yeah. Oh, and of course, Carl Thomas. In 97, I didn't really love this song that much.
I agree.
But this song has aged really well.
Mm.
I really like Carl Thomas's hook.
Mm-hmm.
Puff's verse isn't amazing, but Big's verse, I mean, in a weird way, if it wasn't iconic before, it's iconic now. Thanks, Jay.
Yeah.
And then Too Short, you know, he's too short.
Yeah.
It's a dope record. It's not like it's not like a classic or an amazing, but it's a pretty good record actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah? You're good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like it's cool.
It's cool. Okay. Yeah. So we end Life After Death with a three track run that for a lot of people, and definitely for me, two of these records, I didn't really listen to a lot of until later on, just because, you know, like it really was weird to hear like Big talk so much about death right after he's dead, you know?
Absolutely.
Like there are a couple, like, just like it was really weird to see the I Ain't Mad at You video, like a premiere on MTV a week after he shot.
Mm-hmm.
Like this was a whole lot of that sort of weirdness, you know? My Downfall, produced by 6 July and Nasheem Merrick and Puffy. I'm torn on this. The intro, I could kind of do without. Even though Puffy's ranting is classic.
Yeah.
I love Big's verse on here. I like the beat once it gets going. But I don't really like DMC's hook.
Hmm.
It's offbeat.
He's not on top of the beat. He's slightly behind it. It doesn't bother me.
It drives me crazy.
It feels like a swing to it versus it feels more spoken wordish than like him rapping. That's why it doesn't bother me.
I just want to like take it and rearrange it. But you know, Big's great on this. How do you feel about this song?
My Downfall is dope. I liked it a lot when the album was out. I haven't really gone back to it like that. Listened since then, but I like it. I really don't have much commentary for it. There are way more fascinating songs that we are getting ready to delve into.
Good. Let's talk about Long Kiss Goodnight.
Oh my God.
Produced by RZA. I love this record so much. This song is. He was just prepping for Bobby.
Digital.
This is a dope beat. Big obliterates this.
Listen.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear no talk about Big didn't want smoke with Tupac. He was trying to keep the peace. That entire beef was antagonized by Death Row because, first of all, the original version. But even this version, some shots. I mean, slugs hit you. I ain't mad at you.
We ain't mad at you.
Oh, my God. And the ad-lib after that? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Some classic ad-libbery going on here. But,
woo.
I mean, this was recorded after Tupac died.
Exactly.
First of all, Long Kiss Goodnight didn't come out until after Tupac died, like the movie that it's named after. Secondly, he talks about Lil C's crippling him. His car accident isn't until after Tupac dies.
Oh my God, that is so evil. God, that is evil.
Yeah.
Woo!
Oof.
Wow, yeah. That is evil.
The slugs, honestly, as dope as the slug stitch, I am mad at you, it's the we ain't mad at you that really makes that whole thing.
Because it's so, it's so passive aggressive. It's so sarcastic. Oh my God. Oh. And the funny part is what happened in the I Ain't Mad At You video.
Right.
As you just said. Crazy.
Yeah.
Oof. That is really, really evil. Jesus. Okay.
And then, you know, Puff on this is just every...
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah. I keep telling y'all, we've said it before. Go and get the Bad Boy Mixtape Volume 4. And it's also on YouTube. It's called Stop Yapping. Puff is talking crazy. Crazy. They wanted it to go there. Woof.
So how do you feel about this beat?
It's amazing. Sometimes when I hear like rappity rap records, and sometimes just period, I always say, well, would I pick this beat? If I'm in a studio with RZA and I hear this, would I pick this? I don't think I would have picked this.
Mm.
But it completely works.
Yeah.
It completely works. It's a minimalistic RZA beat. It's very simple, aside from the horn stabs on the intro.
Right.
But what it does is it creates space for Big to just go.
That's got to be an Al Green sample, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. Nobody sampled Al Green like 96, 97 RZA.
One point, we're talking about the horn stabs, and those are funny, but the when they drop the bass and just play the piano.
Oh, that piano is so dope.
It's like menacing. It sounds evil.
I mean, obviously, I mean, it goes without saying, that's the inspiration for the end of Morning Run.
That I didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
I wish you would have said that. I could have got, you know how many piano players I know? Oh, man. Okay. Meh. Okay. All right. That works.
Dang. But you know that's not me playing piano, right?
What is... No, don't...
No, can I say... I mean, we can get dirty. I can tell you what it is.
Yo. Yeah, go ahead. And then I have to tell you something. And then I have to share something on the show.
What it is, it's actually the same. It's just... It's the melody of the actual thing that we sample. But I just... It's just the actual, like, MIDI notes of it. And then... I'm running that through just like a generic like piano instrument. Yeah. Anyway.
So Nike is retroing the Air Force Ones with the bubble check on it.
Uh oh.
That's Clockstradamus. That's freaking scary.
When are those coming out?
They just said it's coming this year.
Okay.
That's crazy. Jesus. Okay.
Anything else you want to say about Long Kiss Goodnight?
No, I'm good.
I love this song. Love it. So let's talk about the last song, which is You're Nobody Till Somebody Kills You. Who is... So... Oh, interesting. Okay. So this has an interesting sort of production lineup here. So there's Puffy, Stevie J, DJ Enough, and somebody named Jiv Poss. I know.
Wyclef?
Who chopped up... a Billy Preston sample and they couldn't clear it. So Stevie J and Puffy remade it. I love this. I love this beat. This song was eerie and creepy in 1997.
Absolutely.
Like in a weird way, it's kind of I had to almost sometimes remind myself like, no, Big was always fascinated with death.
Yeah.
If we didn't know that from the first album, this would have been really weird.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been almost like, all right, like, what's going on? But even still, like, I didn't really appreciate this song until later on. But this is a dope record. This is like a, you know, it's a crazy way to end. And it's funny because he brings back, I kind of didn't realize this, like, he kind of, you know, he brings back Crackhead Lorraine. Like, he's sort of bringing back, like, full circle on some of these stories here.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this song?
It's a little too eerie for me to enjoy.
It is. It's so eerie.
Mm-hmm. I have a hard time understanding people's fascination with death. So much so that it you know, whether we could say Pac and Big's obsession with death manifested, it's like, yeah, like you can make a case for that. You can make a case for coincidence. Like, we don't know. But this, this is just, this is as much craziness as on this album. This is too much for me. It's a dope record, but like listening to this as an adult and just realizing like, yo, Big, how old was he when he died? 23, 24?
25, barely 20. Yeah, 24, 25. Yeah, really young.
He's a baby.
Yeah, really young.
Him and Pac were babies. They didn't know anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always tell people like, yo, you in your 20s? You're stupid. You don't know anything. And as, yeah, they were geniuses and yes, trailblazers and trendsetters and all that stuff. Yes, but still, it's so much to learn, so much to know, so much life to live, to be obsessed with death, because death is forever.
So let me ask you this. So in 97, mm-hmm. Big dies 2.5 weeks before this album comes out, which means the CDs are already out for being pressed. Can't stop it. The album's already done, finished. Can't change anything. In 2017, would they have released this album as is with the ability to, you know, let's say it's, going to debut on Apple Music, right? Would they have pulled some of these songs?
That's a hard question,
but it's fascinating, right? Like, in a weird sense, the fact that they couldn't change anything about this, because like, you think about like Machiavelli, right? That album, you know, lots of references to, you know, all sorts of stuff on that album, but that came out 2 months after. Like they could have done whatever they wanted to that,
mm-hmm.
but this, it was done. It was out there. Couldn't change it.
I'm curious to know what would have happened if this would have came out in 2007.
What do you mean by that?
2003. What I mean by that is this album would have leaked.
Would have leaked
2 or 3 weeks in advance.
Right.
So imagine if Big dies on March 9th and this album leaks like March 11th. Because the album came out, I believe, March 27th,
right,
March
29th. Right, so it would have been roughly 2 weeks before, sure.
That would have been eerie.
Sure. Yeah, that would have been crazy.
That would have been crazy.
Right, because there would have been accusations of, did they leak it on purpose?
Yep. There would have been mad conspiracy theories, mad tinfoil hats all over the place. But to answer your question, I think they would have spun it as this was the album that Big would have. So you're saying if Big was alive, right?
No, I'm saying it's stream, like hypothetically, it's a 1987 where streaming exists, and Puff has to decide like, is this the album they're going to put out? I think the answer is no.
Why do you say that? I'm very curious to hear this theory.
His best friend has just died. I just don't see how they. I don't know. They had so many, I mean, because there were other big songs in the stash that ended up on Puff's album or whatever. They could have like rearranged some stuff. They could have taken, I mean, like, frankly, this record right here, right? You're Nobody Till Somebody Kills You. Maybe even like Somebody's Got to Die. Maybe like Long Kiss Goodnight. Like there are some songs where I wonder, like, would they have pulled it?
Are you saying this because maybe we live in a more PC culture?
No, like, if you have the, you know, basically he never had to make this decision, right? In the raw moments, in the raw weeks after Big died. So like, it's almost wondering what would he have done if that had been the case?
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting question at least.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of like alternate realities, so I've referenced it on and off, but like, so if Big doesn't die, if this album just comes out, Big's alive, doing press, doing promo, all that stuff. So Puff isn't as big of a star, right?
Yeah.
So does that mean then that like summer, fall, winter 97 into 98, not necessarily shiny suit season, right?
Yeah.
So there are like so many down order effects from that. Like, Def Jam has its resurgence in 98 with DMX and everybody else, partially because they're the sort of counter to Puff and Bad Boy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But what if it's not, you know, what happened? Like, think DMX's career would be totally different in a weird way.
It 100% would be.
Right? Get At Me Dog wouldn't have been seen as this like breath of fresh air, because it's entirely possible that, like, you know, they choose different singles, right? If if Big's not dead and everybody's looking to, as you put it, dance their problems away, like, is Mo Money Mo Problems a single? That's a really interesting question.
I think it still is.
Is it as big?
No.
Right. And if Puff doesn't make I'll Be Missing You, then
Puff does not become Puff.
Puff doesn't become Buff. Puff, right? So then, like, what happened?
Bagwell?
So like, what happens to Benjamins, right? What happens to, I mean, there's all sorts of just crazy, like,
not effects. Benjamin. Yeah, Benjamin still happens.
Of course it happens because the song was done. But, like, you know, they were able to put that as a single because, I mean, that's a posse cut. Right. With not much of a hook.
Yeah.
And that's
a
total. Right. Fuzz bubble. That's the fuzz bubble. You talk about heat checks. Spring 98 Puff Daddy was just heat check after heat check.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's just, I mean, cause like, you know, if basically it's wondering, like, if Puff doesn't make I'll Be Missing You, is late 97 still like Bad Boy Everywhere?
No.
Or was there still just so much in the pipeline? You know, Mariah Carey's Honey, the Mace stuff, all the other records on No Way Out. Was there still just so much that it was going to happen anyway?
It still would have happened, but I don't think it would have been this world takeover that it ended up becoming.
Right. So then, like, you know, maybe Jay doesn't make Sunshine.
Oh, no, 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 no. Jay's career is 1,000% different.
Right, because if Jay doesn't make Sunshine, that means they don't put out the Streets is Watching video, which means 98, 99 Jay is a totally different person.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what you're doing is you're just validating the theory of the butterfly effect. You really are.
I'm thinking about this, like, cause it is one of the, cause like, I don't, not to disrespect Tupac, I just don't feel like Tupac's death affected quite as many different variables, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like, I agree.
Death Row was imploding.
Yeah, that was the beginning of the end.
Right, right. It almost would have been a better question to say something like, you know, what if, like, the only, like, a West Coast Death Row equivalent would have been more like, you know, what if Snoop dies just before Doggy Style?
Yep.
Right? And then you go down from there. Now all of a sudden all those other things are different, right? But because Big passes before this monumental double album, before, you know, what becomes the summer and the fall and the winter and the spring of Puff Daddy. Like, it's just such a monumental shift.
Yep.
So let me ask you. So this, of course, back when these ratings mattered, infamously got 5 mics in the source.
Of course.
Even though we just spent all this time trying to separate out, like, the myth of the album from the song, like, I still have trouble separating that out with this album. Like, this album will, to me, forever be intertwined with how like it felt in March of 1997, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So 20 years later, I'm guessing you say this is a classic album, but like, how do you feel about this album?
Man, it's tied to so many things personally and corporately.
Mm.
You know, I just, like you said, I just remember, like I said, I remember my dad coming home. My dad had the day off from work on Friday. Or Tuesday. No, he had the day off of work on Tuesday, or he got off early. And I remember, like, asking him in the morning, Dad, are you going to go buy Life After Death today? And he, you know, my dad being my dad, you know, we'll see, maybe, you know, that does come out today, huh? And coming home from school and seeing the Independent Records in Colorado Springs, seeing the Independent Records bag and seeing a giant CD in there, running to it and just staring at the artwork. Like, I just remember all of that stuff, press and play and just hearing all this stuff. Like, what the hell is just, what is this? It's a classic. And I guess I share all that to say it's a classic for a myriad of reasons. It's impactful. Lyrically, Big is all over the place. And I say that in the best way possible. This is the shiny suit era coming out party. You know, we can talk about what happens if Big doesn't die. But, you know, Big passing, he leaves a crazy legacy with this. This becomes, the open door for mad double albums. And I think we've had this discussion before. Is this the best double album out of the bunch?
Wu-Tang Forever is pretty great.
Wu-Tang Forever is good, but there's some on there.
I mean, there's some on here.
Yeah, there is. Life After Death is more impactful than Forever.
I mean, Puffy is good, but Wu-Tang is for the children.
Wu-Tang is for the children. Okay, so I think that's one of those things that comes down to preference, so I won't argue that one. What's third?
I think it's got to be All Eyes on Me.
Yeesh.
No, All Eyes on Me is incredible.
What?
Whoa, hold on.
I could have swore we had a conversation where you were like, let's get rid of half of this.
I mean, you can really get rid of a sizable chunk of the second disc. But the first disc, like, what am I moving? Maybe What's Your Phone Number?
Don't disrespect What's Your Phone Number. Don't do that.
But Ambitions as a Rider, All About You, Scandalous, My Made Up, How Do You Want It To, like, I'm sorry, what am I moving? But, like, you know, once you get past, like, you know, like, Thug Passion, Checkout Time,
I used to like Thug Passion. Yeah,
Ain't Hard To Find,
Heaven Ain't Hard To Find is dope, though. Right, you have a song called Ain't Hard To Find. Check out our Death Row retrospective. That was one of our early retros. We might need to do that one over. ClockRadioSpeakers.com. Yeah. I mean, because what else is there? Blueprint 2, Art of War,
the original concept for what would have been the two-disc Nas LP in 99.
Oh, yo. If Nas would have pulled that off, if they would not have been as concerned with the leaks, because what the leaks were back then compared to what they became, was nothing. The Lost Tapes is still just, or the Death Escobar bootleg, as many of us.
If anybody can hook me, I lost my Death of Escobar bootleg. If anybody can hook me up with that, I would really appreciate it.
Is that that was a two disc, right? Wasn't that a two disc?
There was a lot of different versions of that, I need the whole thing. If anybody out there can hook me up, I appreciate it.
Rise and Fall, Amongst Kings,
Amongst Kings.
That's what pisses me off so much about Undying Love, because that's where I Am ends, but on the original version of that album, then Amongst Kings is after that,
right?
Nas dies and he goes to see God and he's basically like pleading his case. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, the problem with that, with like thinking that
terrible,
to Amongst Kings,
yeah,
no, hold on, I need to no, I remember liking that. Hold on. Listen,
nah, that beat is, this the concept is amazing. That beat first. I see a flash of light, then on
my own, I hear nothing. No, that's dope.
Nah.
No, I like
the
that.
The drums are good. It's the melody. It builds up like over, I think, an 8-bar chorus. No, it's not really the best beat, but Nas is 99. Nas is just he just does things very well. So much so, he had you humming Dr. Knock Boots this week.
It was one of those things, like, out of nowhere, I'm walking down the hall at work, all of a sudden, you know, and I'm like, oh no, it just pops in my head, and then I try to get it out, and I had listened to Ready to Die earlier that day, and then right after it, because my brain hates me, randomly, I kept hearing E-40 rapping Biggie's lines.
Oh my god.
You know, like the whole.
I'd be more hip-a-da hippopotamus. Getting your hair like a neurologist. Oh my god! I'm not slandering Sprinkle Me, because that is a Negro spiritual and a hip hop classic.
Right now, take that flow and apply it to, you know, Salt-N-Pepa and Heavy D in the limousine, right? And it's. Anyway, Life After Death.
Yeah,
it's a classic album. Yep. I don't know if it's better than Ready to Die. I firmly believe that if you tried to, if you crammed everything in here, and if you had 80 minutes and you took the best out of this album you could take for 80 minutes, I think it's better than Ready to Die.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. You said you think it is better than Ready to Die.
If you take this, because this is a total of an hour and 50 minutes, right? So that's 110 minutes.
Uh-huh.
I think if you cram, if you say, what's the maximum we can get on a single CD out of this? If you were to say, Big, you got to take Life or Death can't be two discs, got to be one disc. First of all, you'd be making some incredibly tough cuts. But I think that as a project would be better than Ready to Die.
So Life After Death 2.1.
Right. But I could really do without Play Ahead. I can really do without Another. I can really do without Miss You. Sorry.
Ready to Die After Everyday Struggle isn't good either. There's a few records on there.
Let me look at that track list.
I'm good on Respect. I'm good on Friend of Mine.
I like Respect.
I think Unbelievable's at the end.
Yeah, I was going to say, hold on. Unbelievable and Suicide Thoughts are at the end.
No. Yeah, go from Everyday Struggle to Unbelievable and Suicide Thoughts.
Well, Everyday Struggle. You don't like Me and My Chick?
What track is it? That's track 12, right?
And then Big Papa.
Yeah.
And then Respect. Oh, so you just don't like Respect and Friend of Mine.
Dang, is that the end of the album?
And then it's Unbelievable Suicide Thoughts.
I don't like the original version of One More Chance. No.
Oh, I love the original.
No, the remix.
Remix is great too, but I love the original.
And the hip hop remix. Two remixes of a song. I need to bring that back for Kairos too. Because that's genius.
And one of them should definitely just be called the hip hop remix.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I need to talk to you offline. God, our show is running really late. And this is the bad part about only talking to you once a week.
Now I have the hook to Respect in my head. Thanks a lot.
Me, I'm a Respect.
And on that note, anything else you want to say?
Why did I sing that last week when we were doing Dad?
Thank you to everybody for telling us why, is it Giggs? Griggs? Well, I already forgot his name. Isn't Grime. I appreciate all that. I really did.
Shout out to Carnova. He definitely dropped some jewels, one of our original listeners. So thank you to that. But also thank you to everyone who provided hilarious Giggs slander over the course of the week. That was good. You can check at CRS Podcast. We pretty much retweet you guys' responses to the show. Hilarious.
Seriously, when I went back and listened, and you went into the Dr. Dre voice and did, hell yeah, look at them turkeys, lost it.
Yeah, I ended up listening to The Chronic this weekend because it was 75 degrees outside. So when Let Me Ride comes on, and it's the first hell yeah, I lose it. And my friend is looking at me like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, I can't explain why it's so funny, but just classic Clock Radio speakery. But I think we're good. Yeah. I don't know why I didn't sing Feel the Rhythm, Feel the Run. There's lots of places we could have went last week and we didn't go.
Oh, yeah. We did. Yeah. We didn't even try to do any Feel the Rhythm, Feel the Run. Thanks everybody for listening this deep. I realize this is a long episode, but hopefully y'all enjoyed it just as much as we did. Please hit us up on Twitter at CRS Podcast. Let us know what you think about Life After Death 20 years later. And as always, thanks to Fourth District. Thanks to everybody who listens. And anything else, man?
Maybe check for some new music, possibly, hopefully. If not, see y'all next week.